An Episcopal priest stands in front of a church to begin a Sunday service. The sanctuary is large and full of people. Suddenly, his microphone breaks into pieces and a high, shrill rings throughout the space. He lifts his hands and says, "Something went wrong with my microphone." And the people respond, "And also with you." You see, despite the microphone mishap, the people heard what they expected to hear, despite it being totally different than what was actually said. Isn't this just like what we're seeing everywhere in the present? For many purposefully disbelieve anything one says. For example, anything President Trump says is twisted, often in ways which result in it meaning the exact opposite of what he said. This has gotten so bad that several formerly reputable major news outlets have been caught deliberately cutting and splicing his interviews to make him say things he never said. He has now sued for libel and defamation, ABC, CBS, and more recently, the BBC, for billions of dollars in damages. Of course, he needs not the money, but he's demanding these punitive punishments so as to deter other news outlets from such devious, deceitful, and devilish journalism. Truly, when I look at my news feeds, it never fails to astonish how liberal leftist globalists create fantastical, imaginative distortions of current events, created out of thin air to score points with their useful idiot bases, to smear, demean, and destroy truth-talking people. It truly is disheartening, depressing, and distressing. It looks all but hopeless out there. No matter what good thing is accomplished, there is a veritable crowd of largely paid agitators denouncing it all as the next most evil thing to come along. Sir Alan Patrick Herbert is quoted as saying, long time ago, "If no one ever spoke unless he knew what he was talking about, a ghastly hush would descend upon the earth." The problem with that is too many are convinced of their superior intellect and acumen. Someone else once said, "It is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt." But the plethora of fools in the world today lack such self-control. Indeed, such fools they are, they can't tell the difference between boys and girls, men and women. And many of them have law degrees, are judges, and practicing law. I wish that one day they'd finish their practicing and learn how to righteously administer law and order. Ah, but our situation these days is hardly new. It's been the lot of humanity since the first lies were told by a serpent in the Garden of Eden and believed by a naive and, at the time, faithless wife and mother of all who live, named Eve, who with her womanly wiles enchanted her husband Adam to go against the explicit command of God. Seems brain-fogged Adam loved his wife more than his God, and we've been paying the price ever since. But we who hunger and thirst for righteousness, our Lord Jesus pronounced in Matthew 5:6, "How enriched you are when you crave righteousness, for you will be satisfied." A more detailed answer was given some 600 years before Lord Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount, or rather the hillside. Habakkuk, much like us, was distraught at how evil Judah had become. By his time, the northern kingdom, Israel, had already been destroyed and was no more. Only Judah was left, and it was heading pell-mell to hell in a handbasket. Unrighteousness was everywhere, Evil was running rampant and running society. Few and far between were truly good people who sought to live as God commands, who knew and loved him. Yet all the while, the wicked were prospering, getting richer and richer, while oppressing and squeezing the poor for every last nickel and dime or shekel. How could a righteous God allow all this to continue? More to the point, how could God allow the judgment to come through the Babylonians, a people far more wicked than the Jews? Hard as though that is to imagine at the time. That essentially sums up Habakkuk chapter 1, which we read last week. Well, chapter 2 is God's answer to his faithful prophet's question. Wicked Babylon is the instrument of God's judgment on Judah. But in meting out God's judgment, Babylon brings righteous judgment upon herself, also at God's hand. Habakkuk needn't have been concerned. God's righteousness is perfect and will prevail, always. Why else would our Lord Jesus declare in Matthew 5:10, "How enriched you are when persecuted for doing what is right, for then you experience the realm of heaven's kingdom." Experiencing the realm of heaven's kingdom can happen to all believers at different times and places. We experience it through Holy Spirit, who lives in us. It is God's Spirit working with our God-given spirits, who enables us at just the right times and places to taste and see the awesome, loving goodness of God. He's the same Holy Spirit who gives each of us various gifts so that we can each advance the kingdom of heaven here on earth, all in anticipation of when Lord Jesus returns and sets all things right and true once again. Holy Spirit within us can give us sudden thoughts, flashes of insight, unexpected words, bursts of inexplicable peace and assurance. When we experience these blessings, we know in our hearts that this is the assurance of our eternal salvation, for his presence in us is like the down payment on our eternal mansions in the heavenly realms. Truly, it can often seem like he's bubbling up from within us, giving us supernatural understandings. Indeed, the Hebrew word for prophet is Nabi, which Habakkuk calls himself. The root meaning of this word is bubbler. That is, one in whom Holy Spirit is bubbling up, one through whom the Word of God springs forth like a fresh spring. Surely we've all experienced a brand new truth from God, one that we could not have learned in any conventional way, spring up from inside us. Truly, Holy Spirit is a bubbler inside us. Like a fresh spring constantly flowing in us is Holy Spirit, who is constantly renewing and strengthening us for the tribulations and trials each new day brings. In many ways, believers are exposed to more calamities in this life than the unrighteous, than unbelievers. In part, it's so the full consequence of the sin of the unrighteous is held off in order to give the sinners more opportunity to repent and return to their loving Creator. It's the righteous suffering for the ultimate future good of the unrighteous, which is exactly what our Lord Jesus did for us. Now, look at how up-to-date Habakkuk is. Chapter 2, verses 5 through 13 reads, "Wealth is deceitful. The proud are full of themselves, but have empty souls. They are as greedy as the grave, and just like death itself, they are never satisfied. They gather and grasp for themselves all the wealth of the nations, and take all the people captive. All these conquered nations will one day taunt them, saying, 'You are doomed, you who pile up stolen goods. How long will you amass wealth by extortion? Will not your creditors suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and terrify you? Before you know it, you will become their prey. Since you have plundered many nations, the peoples who are left will plunder you. For you have killed many people. You have acted violently against lands and cities and everyone within them. You are doomed, you who enrich your family by cheating others. You build your luxurious home on high, thinking you'll be safe from harm's reach. Your schemes to ruin the lives and homes of others bring shame upon your own house. You are as good as dead for doing this. The stones of the wall will cry out to accuse you, and your wooden rafters will echo it. You are doomed, you who build a city with bloodshed and establish it upon evil. I, Adonai, commander of angel armies, have decreed the efforts of the nations are nothing but fuel for the fire, for all they have built will go up in smoke. God continues in verses 15 through 17. You are doomed, you who delight to mix drinks for neighbors, pouring wine from pitchers until they are dead drunk, just so that you can gaze on their naked bodies. Now you will be drunk with shame instead of honor. Now it is your turn. Drink your fill and let your nakedness be exposed. The cup of punishment that Adonai holds in his right hand is now coming around to you. Your former glory will be covered with your vomit of disgrace. Epstein files, anyone? Now, verses 18 and 19. You are doomed, you who say to a piece of dead wood, come to life, or to lifeless stone, get up. Can something dead give revelation, even though it is covered with gold and silver, like computer chips? There is no breath in it. Of what use is an idol carved by a craftsman, or a metal image that gives misleading oracles? For the one who makes it trusts the work of human hands, a god that cannot even talk. Is this not talking about AI? Are not the globalists trusting the work of human hands? God says, you are doomed. He says in verse 20, Adonai is in his holy temple. Let everyone on earth be silent before him. Can you imagine the true peace then? For as verse 14 and our sermon hymn attest, the entire earth is being filled with the revelation of the glory of Adonai, just as waters fill the sea, as the waters cover the sea. Let us pray. Lord, it is amazing to us how you revealed to your prophets in ancient times, thousands and thousands of years ago, what would be happening right now in our day. And we thank you that you have caused us to be living in these days perfect for us. Help us to be more faithful in being your lights in this world, of being the salt that showers good deeds upon the people around us, that they may see them and give glory to you, even if they don't want to, even if they don't believe in you. We pray all this for the sake of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.